The reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. It can be found on page 825 of your Pew Bibles. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for they have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, we are grateful to be here this morning, to be able to worship you with all our body, our strength, our mind, our soul. And we ask that as we are about to hear your meditation, that really you bless us with new understanding, with new ears to listen. So again, Lord, we are grateful for being here this morning, being able to worship you. And it's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen. Good morning. I guess many of you have those moments when we go back home, whatever home is, and we have those reality checks. Right, so for example, if you're American and you know you've been in Hong Kong for a while, you go back to the US and you order, you know, a dish and you end up with something for 10 people and you're like, "What is that?" That's what I call a reality check, right? And I had that a few weeks ago when I went back to France, and you know, I was with friends and they were saying, "Hey, we would like to meet tonight." I say, "Sure, what are we doing?" "Oh, nothing, we're just gonna talk." Did you know that French people love to talk? They just love talking. And, well, one thing is, on average, they work 30 hours per week, so leaves a lot of room to be able to chat, right? Let's be honest. And my friends are the same. And French love talking about everything, politics, religion, you know, world things, and they just love it. And last time, I had great conversations with my friends, and it's also an amazing opportunity for me to witness being a Christian, because most of my friends in France do not know the Lord. And so every time I try to kind of sneak in a little Christian, you know, practice. And last time it was about giving. And so I told my friends, yes, my wife and I, we give about 10% of our resources. It's kind of this, you know, Christian practice called tithing. And my friends were really polite and say, "Oh, it's really generous of you." But I could see in the eyes, it was more the generous / stupid type of giving, right? It's like, "Huh, well, good for you, not for me." And they also replied, well, because, you know, I kind of challenged them, do you guys give to any charities, any nonprofits?" And my friends would say, "Well, no, we already pay taxes." And a lot of taxes, right? So why would I give more? I'm already giving away a good chunk of my salary every year to the government. So we had, you know, great conversations, and I do have many questions about giving, right? Is it enough to just give through our taxes? Is this kind of duty to give through our taxes enough? How should we give? Should we give to churches, to nonprofits? Is there like a Christian way to give our money away? So many questions. And so I went back to the Bible, as a good Christian should do, going back to the Bible, finding answers. And I just look back at what is this practice to give away 10% of our salary? You know, where does it come from? Is it biblical, or is it just one day some church leaders who are being really creative and said, "Hey, we have this new idea. We're going to ask people to give 10%. That sounds a good figure, so let's do that." No, it is very biblical. It comes from the Bible. And it's actually from the very beginning in Genesis. So if you go to Genesis 14, you have this man called Abraham. At the time of the story in Genesis 14, he was called Abram, which was his first name. Then he got a new name. He was called Abraham. And I'm going to use Abraham for sake of clarity. And he went to this war because his nephew Lot was in trouble. And when he came back to his camp, there's a weird interaction, because the text says that a great priest, his name was Melchizedek, came to Abraham and blessed him. So literally, this guy came, say, hello, Abraham, can I bless you? Yeah, sure. And he blessed him. He said words of blessing for Abraham, for his, you know, the generations to come. And the text says also that after receiving the blessing, Abraham decided to give 10% of his possessions to this dude called the great priest Melchizedek. And that's kind of the starting point, if you will, of this tradition to give away 10% of your possessions. And we also see that a little bit later in the book of Genesis, in chapter 28. Genesis 28 is when Jacob has this dream. So remember, he goes to this place who will later be called Bethel, and he just wanted to sleep there. Little he knew that during the night he would have this amazing vision of a ladder that would kind of be a link, a bridge between heaven and earth. And he would have this vision, he had this vision of God, his Lord, coming down from heaven to meet him on earth. A really powerful vision. And God blessed Jacob. He said words of blessings. He said, Jacob, everything you see around you will be yours. Not just for you, but also for the many generations to come. You, your family, your tribe, you will be blessed. And I will always be with you. I will fulfill my promise to you. Now, Jacob being is an interesting character, because instead of just giving away 10% like Abraham did, Jacob said, okay, God, I'm going to wait until I can see all those blessings happening, and then I'm going to give you the money back, right? So Jacob was more interesting for that. But it's the same concept. It's this idea that we give because we feel blessed. We have been blessed in our life. We received blessings. Therefore, we are able to give. And I'm sure you have those examples in your life of people who are not really generous, and most of the time these are sad people who haven't been really blessed. And most of the time people feel that they are really blessed by God. They tend to give away their money more easily, isn't it? It became a formal practice a little bit later on in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, when it says that the different tribes of Israel, so there are 12 tribes, and one of the tribes is the priestly tribe. So their job is to take care of the temple, and therefore they are not meant to work in the world, right? They cannot just have a regular job, if you will. And so what happened in this law that you can find in Deuteronomy 14, it institutionalized the practice of giving 10%, because it says that the 11 remaining tribes are meant to give 10% to the Levites, the priestly tribe. And if you go to this text, what's really amazing is that it's not just about giving 10% of your resources. In the text, it says that the 11 tribes are meant every year to gather 10% of their resources. So we are talking of a gregarious in the society, right? So people would work with animals, would have crops. So they will literally bring their resources, right? They will bring their animals, 10% of the whole herd of cows, or 10% of your corn, whatever you have. And they will quite literally go meet with the Levites and have a feast. And it's this beautiful image of tithing is this practice of a joyful celebration, if you will. It's like if we meet every year and we say, hey, everybody give 10% and we'll have a feast, we'll have a banquet to celebrate this giving. This is the origin of tithing. It's actually an old English word that means tenth. So when you think of it, or when people ask you, what is this weird like Christian thing of tithing? Hey, it comes from tenth. So 10% of your salary, give it away. And that's how we kind of became Christian people who give 10% of our possessions. That's what happened. As centuries evolved, there has always been this kind of tendency to make giving into a mechanical way of giving, if you will. And I can see that sometimes in myself. when I give without really paying attention to the recipient of my giving, when I give without really maybe praying or thinking about what the NGO or what the church is doing with my money. I think we all face this temptation of just giving in a very mechanical way. It's when giving becomes a line in your budget, if you will. And then you just do a transfer or just something fast and you're, okay, I'm done with my giving, I'm done with my tithing, all good, now I'll do it next year, right? This is what scholars say is the temptation of mechanical charity. When charity is really shallow and there's no depth to our giving. And that's a temptation that I think most of us can face, right? Now, Jesus saw this challenge and this temptation, and he denounced it. Because you know Jesus, when something is wrong, he likes to just point at it and say, this is not okay. And he did that in the temple. There are many, many stories of Jesus being in the temple. This was the gathering place. This was the central place for the Jews. And so Jesus would come with his disciples and would just give them a practical teaching. They went to the temple, and there was one man who was giving, making sure that everybody could see what he was giving, and giving out of wealth. Obviously, he had a lot of money, and he was just giving this money away. And there was also this woman. And Jesus said, look at her for a second. Just stop, look at her, and think. Is she wealthy? No, not really. But is she giving? Yes, she is. How much she is giving? Well, not much, right? It's just a little penny. But do you know how much this penny is worth in her life? Then the disciples start to understand. One small penny means a lot for her. So she is giving this penny, which for us is quite insignificant, isn't it? But for her, it's everything. So she is giving out of nothingness, if you will. She is giving out of empty pockets. And Jesus says, honestly, this is the real giving. This is giving when you feel the depth of your giving. And my wife introduced me to this concept called radical generosity. And that's what it's about. That's what Jesus is pointing. He's saying what she's doing is radical generosity. Because most people, when they have nothing, why would they give away? Why would they give when they only have a penny, right? This is radical. And Jesus is saying, well, the other guy, two problems with him. And Jesus loves to denounce people who give to boast themselves. That he really doesn't like. People who give as a way to feel good and to feel kind of, to be proud of, so that people can see what they are doing. That he dislikes. It would be like here when we pass the offering, if someone next to you was just writing a check and then was making sure everybody could see it, right? Woo! Look, I'm giving a lot. I'm generous. Well, Jesus would be like, hey, that's not being generous. That's called boasting around. Jesus also said this kind of radical teaching that when you give with your right hand, your left hand is not supposed to know what's happening over there. He's saying even in yourself, you should give with kind of closing your eyes and making sure that you're not using this act of giving as a way to boast yourself. This is the radical teaching of Jesus called radical generosity. And Jesus is always telling us, watch out, because institutional giving is always kind of this temptation to give in a very mechanical way, to give as a line in our budget and not to think of the recipients of our giving. But the story goes even further than that. In Acts, remember, Acts begins with the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit. It says in the text that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what they did after receiving the Spirit is that they devoted themselves to spreading the good news around. And they also devoted themselves to the teaching of the gospel, to really practice all the teaching that Jesus gave them. And so it also said that they gathered as a community and decided to put their resources all together and to give those resources away. After that, Peter and John go to the temple, as Jews do. And they're on their way to the temple, right? And there's this gate called Beautiful. Pretty straightforward, right? It must have been a beautiful gate, I guess. Beautiful gate to go to the temple. And as they go to the temple, there's a beggar at the gate asking for money. Now, Peter and John really don't have any money, right? So they're like, I don't have any coins, I don't have gold, I don't have silver. But what they do with this beggar is really important. They could have just gone to the temple and say, okay, I don't have any money, I'm not going to spend time with this guy. But what they do is they ask this beggar, look at us. This beggar couldn't walk. The text says he was lame, crippled. And they say, look at us. And the beggar looked back. And at this precise moment, they are making a human connection. They are looking at each other in the eyes. And just think of the many, many people who just went into the temple. People might have, you know, given the money, just throw some coins, but not looking at the beggar. Now, Peter and John, no money, but they want to have a relationship with this man. They say, look at us. I'm sure they had a conversation. What's your name? How long have you been here? A friend of mine in Hong Kong, in this congregation, started a nonprofit to do amazing work with the homeless in Hong Kong. And if you want to be involved with my friend, you just go and ask, what shall we do? And my friend will tell you, we need your time. It's not about the money. What homeless people need in Hong Kong is to be in relationship with people. They want to be known. So you would go in those walks in different parts of Hong Kong. I've done in Tin Hau, in Mong Kok, Sham Shui Po, and you just give your time and your attention. In a city like Hong Kong, where the most valuable currency is time, isn't it? Unlike France, with a lot of time. In Hong Kong, really, it's about time. People are too busy. So if you are able to say, yes, I'm going to commit for those 2-3 hours, I'm going to go, I'm going to have a relationship with these people. What you're doing is that, first of all, you're doing amazing work in Hong Kong. You are rehumanizing, if you will, those people. And you start realizing that the giving is not just about the money. That many people before entering the temple just gave maybe a lot of money to this beggar, but without actually caring for him. Sitting down and say, hey, what's your name? Who are you? And that's what Peter and John did. But they did something more. They also stopped and say, we have nothing, right? But what we have, we're going to give it to you. So the beggar must have been really confused, right? He must have been, what's going on here? Without knowing that Peter and John laid their hands and said, in the name of Jesus, stand and walk. And guess what? The beggar, crippled, lame, stood up and started walking. He was now able to walk. And this is what I call radical Christian generosity. When it's about sharing the greatest gift that we ever received, which is Christ. Who is Christ? We have been amazingly blessed when we received Christ in our life. This is the greatest gift. And so being able to share Christ is kind of this natural thing, right? The same way that in Jewish thinking, you give back 10% knowing that everything that belongs to you belongs to God. So it's quite natural to give 10%. Well, guess what? It's the same with Jesus Christ. If we really understand that Christ is this greatest gift that we ever received, then it's all natural to to just give Christ to other, to share Christ with other, and to share the healing power of Christ. It's a healing that is spiritual, but also physical, emotional, psychological, social. It's a complete healing that Christ is bringing to our lives. So by sharing Christ to others, we are really being generous Christians, because it is the treasure that we have. It's not a physical treasure. It is a spiritual treasure. And it is our duty to share Christ with others. And I love the ending of this passage in Acts 3, when after Peter and John laid their hands and the man started to walk, he went in the temple and he jumped around. He was so happy that he was just jumping all around. He was joyful. And I just want to draw your attention to the fact that at the time, it was not okay to come and jump in the temple. It was just not a thing you would be able to do. I'm not sure we would have young kids like we just had to come and just create a joyful mess. This was not okay. So having this crippled man who not only walked, but also jumped around, is amazing. It's insane. It's also to show that the fruits multiplied. When the disciples say walk, not only did he walk, he also jumped. Right? He's doing a lot more. And people were amazed. Wow, what is that? This is Christian generosity. This is radical Christian generosity, because it's really radical to share Christ with others. It is radical to share the gift of Christ with others. So I'm not saying you should not give 10%. This is kind of the basis of our Christian generosity. Please keep going with giving 10% to churches, nonprofits, to do the good work of the kingdom. Do it and try to remember that you are blessed. And you are able to give. Just being able to give is such a blessing, because you have been blessed yourself in your life. Try to see how you can move to radical generosity, which is when giving hurt. When you are supposed to spend those few hours just chilling out and resting, but instead you go the extra mile and you go and serve others. Or this money that you put aside to buy this new car, Ferrari maybe, a lot of Ferraris in Hong Kong. Well, what about giving it away to the poor and feeling like, I really wanted this thing, but I gave it away and I'm happy about it. I'm joyful about it. What about rediscovering the joy of giving? Realizing that when we share our resources, our money, but most importantly, when we share Christ, we are creating joyful people. We are creating people who are healed, completely healed, physically, mentally, spiritually. And that's our duty. So at this dinner, I had a lot of time to explain all of that to my friend. And I think he kept his line of you Christians are generous / stupid. But I think it kind of triggered something in his mind. And my wife and I, as you know, are relocating to Europe this summer. And I'm going to be completely honest, when we did the math of how much tax we're going to pay, man, it wasn't fun. But it should not prevent us from giving out of generosity and saying, hey, we give to the state, that's right, but we should also just give generously with joy, and most importantly, sharing Christ. So may God really help us as we go today, this week, try to be a light in the darkness. Try to shine the light of Christ to others who need healing. And I'm sure you see many, many situations where you see people need healing. They need healing power of Christ. In the marketplace, in the family, in the friendship circles, everywhere. This is our duty. And this is radical. This is called radical Christian generosity. So may the Lord help us to do that. Amen.